Best topic. Compliance is cool, right? We love compliance. All right, I'm going to start with a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for the time that we can gather today and be able to just connect as volunteers, connect as a team, and to look forward to the summer to honor you and to help kids learn about you, give them a place of refuge and a place to deepen their relationship and learn more about you. We ask for safety for the summer. We ask for your blessings as staff prepare for the summer and as directors prepare for the summer, Bible teachers prepare for the summer, that you would just bless it and take all that work and multiply it, that we would be able to see you working here and give kids a place to just relax in you. Bless our time together today. Amen. All right, so I feel really loud. If I move this down a little bit, will that help a little bit? All right. So Yvonne mentioned the podcast, right? Who listens to the podcast? Raise your hand. Who listened to Thursday's podcast? Oh, not that close, huh? Who was on Thursday's podcast? I was, yes. Okay. So, if you listen to the podcast, what is something new you learned about me? Raise your hand. Biz. Okay. Up in the ante. Now, again, you're diabetic, so I'm sorry. You can use those to purchase something. I don't know. Yes, you have. My favorite place is the fort. Yes. These are healthy gummy worms. I dug them up this morning. No, there's no high fructose corn syrup in them. So, anyway. So we're going to talk about compliance this afternoon, and I'm going to randomly throw some questions in, and I might randomly throw some chocolate until I run out. But if I ask a question, raise your hand, because if I hear everybody shouting answers out, then who do I give the candy to, right? I don't have enough for everybody, so I kind of do, but kind of not. So we're going to talk about just compliance around camp. And we're going to make two, probably hopefully get a break in, and then come back a little, get a 5-minute break, and then we'll talk about child protection, okay? So thank you for coming, and thank you for serving at camp. I put pictures in my PowerPoint this year of different places around camp where intentional relationships are made or decisions are made. And there's lots of decisions made around campfires, right? When you have the music and you have the speaker going and the fire going, and those can be very memorable, right, for people. But thanks for coming. Without all of you guys, we wouldn't be able to have camp. We wouldn't have all the dorm leaders that we need. We wouldn't have the craft people. We wouldn't have the kitchen. And so you don't want me cooking and you don't want me doing crafts. I am really good at compliance. So that's what I do. And if you don't know, my name is Andy. Our family came here July 2018 is when I started. So I've been here almost 7 years now. And it's been great for our family, and we've thoroughly enjoyed it. I am now the operations manager, and I started out back then as the school groups manager, and staff changes and ebbs and flows and staffing and whatnot. So now I'm the operations manager and the school groups manager. See how that works? Not one, but two jobs. So I want to share with you guys today the care for the ministry. Why do we need to care for the ministry? Why do we need to care what goes on here? And why do we even need to watch out for others? Well, it's to care for the reputation of the gospel. This camp has been going since 1970. And, you know, I would consider Teo, one of the founders, right? He was on the board, and with his passing last fall, right? That was bittersweet. Like, he gets to go be with the Lord, but yet we don't get to see him down here. And I've already missed him at times. So, but care for the gospel, care for the facilities, care for compliance, care for finances, how the marketing, how do we talk about camp when we're not here? How are we reflecting camp to others, to people at church, to people we invite to FC, people that we invite to any of the camps, our volunteers? What are we doing and how are we displaying? So we need to care for the ministry, and we need to take care of it in a sense of a biblical witness, a love for the ministry, and a care so that we can protect the ministry, right? We want it to go for another 50 years. I do. Ruth, what do you think? Yeah?
I won't be here.
Yeah, yeah. You won't be here, but you want us to keep going, don't you? Yeah. And that's what Teo would want, for us to keep going. And I would love, I never met your parents, Ruth, but I would love, like, if they were here right now, I would love to sit with them and ask them, what do you think? Like, this is what we're doing. This is how busy we are throughout the year. They'd be delighted, huh? Yeah. Like, did you ever, would they have envisioned this, right?
My dad did.
Okay. Yeah. So we have more work to do. An old folks home and an orphanage. So we got some space to use that. Did you hear that? Yeah. Taking notes, okay. Yes. Okay. So make sure that why we talk about camp, why we're down here, we're caring for the facilities, okay? We always want to do our risk assessment, right? We do lots of great, fun things, and everybody thinks of the tower, and everybody thinks of the paintball, and oh, it's so much fun, and we do a great job of doing it safely, right? A lot of fun, a lot of high energy. If something were to go bad, it could go really bad, you know, if we didn't keep up on the maintenance of the tower, if we, you know, didn't have people wear the goggles, you know, during paintball, that would be a problem, right? But are you thinking about risks like kids running in the parking lot or the luggage wagons, right? How often do those get used? I debated about putting a picture of that up. There was a dorm, I went through a gazillion pictures this week. And last year there was a dorm, I don't remember which week it was. It was all boys, so it was either boys camp or senior high camp, where they sat in those luggage, and I'm like, oh, they had to get them down there. What did they do between here and there, you know? So we need to do our risk assessment for all of those things, you know? How did they go? Did they go through the swale, and how did that happen? It's probably good that I didn't know that, right? So when you're doing that, remember, when you're a dorm leader and you're doing your, hey, let's go do this, whatever activity, right? You could have a rolled ankle is one thing. You could have a broken arm. You know, you could have, oh, we're doing something and I might cut my finger. I might burn my finger. Or I could die, right? I mean, there's different levels of what we're doing and how are we doing that and are we doing it safely and should we be doing it, right? So all summer long, I want all of you guys, and if you see something, you're like, that doesn't look right, like I'm concerned about that, it's okay to pull the dorm leader aside. It's okay to be like, oh, I see that, and it looks like a camp-wide thing, so maybe I should talk to the director, talk to Andrew quick, and be like, hey, what about this? Was this, did somebody go, instead of stopping the activity, can we do it in a tactful way, right? There are times you have to step in and say, yeah, let's not do this, and take the cart away from the kids, right? So they're not rolling down the hill, right? If they walk up to the hairpin and bring the cart, now, I would stop that right away. So where is the tolerance of stopping right away? And where is the, hey, let's go talk to somebody real quick to make sure this was a good idea, right? Each situation is gonna have its own. and you're going to have to weigh that out. But we want to be safe, and we want to make memories. And a lot of times, some of those adventurous things make some great memories, right? But as long as we're careful. So make sure you're doing your risk assessment as you're walking around camp and as you're taking kids here and there. And, you know, we're going to walk up this hill. Well, is this the really steep part? Should we be going here? Should we be going there? What could happen, right? And it's all parts of camp. Just walking through the parking lot. Those golf carts can be quiet. You can sneak up on people, right? So if you're driving a golf cart, you need to be careful and realize somebody's walking along talking, they're not going to hear you. So you have to think about all those things. Okay? Care for compliance. So we have all you guys do your registration, your new volunteer registration, your returning volunteer registration. We have campers do their registration. Staff, we do our summer staff training, and our full-time staff have to fill out the background check. Actually, I add a form for the full-time staff, a driver's record check. So if you guys are like, oh, we got so many forms, there's more for the full-time staff, just to let you know. But all those forms, like the background check, the state requires. The state requires a list of campers, of who's here, and like an address and an emergency contact. The state requires that. Our lawyer requires that we have everybody sign a risk and release form. The Alliance Defending Freedom, we're a member of that. They require, we're a member so that we can get representation if there is a lawsuit, if somebody sues for a religious freedom violation. So if somebody signs the code of conduct and doctrine of belief, and then they're here and they're like talking about more than one wife that they have or whatever, right? Against our doctrine of belief, then we can ask them to leave. And if they sue, well, they've signed the form and we have a lawyer to protect camp. So those forms, because the lawyers are like, hey, if you really want to be protected, you need to have these forms. So it's not that Yvonne and I sat up one night and like, hey, what can we do to make it harder to register, right? There is a purpose behind everything, okay? And probably last year, I don't know, Brant, was last year the first year of that doctrinal belief awareness when people register, right? I think that was last year's form that we added to the registration. When you register your camper, you have to go in and, click it off once per family. Again, that was our lawyer was like, you need to have this so that we don't have issues when people register for the marriage and family that are not a traditional marriage, right? Or a marriage that we would believe God has given us. So to protect camp, we have the forms. See, you gotta pay attention. Watch out for the babies. Watch out for the babies. Protect the babies. Okay. I need hands raised. Like, if you know the answer, what's the first question we ask? Raise your hand. Oh, okay, Cheyenne.
Who are they?
Okay. Quiet. Hands down. Ready? Question three. What is it? Yes. Yes. I meant three on purpose to throw people off. I'm trying to be sneaky. I said question three. So what's the second question we ask? Yes. Yes. Who are they? No, wait. No, give that back. Who are they? Good job. Way to go. Yes, Abby. Okay.
Where are they?
Where are they? Yes. Here you go. Who are they? Where are they? What are they doing? I got to keep my eye on you over there, Mr. Matt. Who are they? Where are they? And what are they doing? Paul implemented this. You know, they started way before I even came to camp here. They started this. And it's working well. We're all using these questions to watch out for everybody else, for all the campers. And it's here to protect the volunteers as well, protect the staff, right? So we want to be able to, we want to ask these questions when we're walking around. You have a parent come down, right? And you're like, wait, who are they? I don't know who they are. Go ask. Hi, my name's Andy. Can I help you? I notice you don't have a name tag on, right? I notice you don't look like you know what you're going, where you're going. Can I, they might not know where they're going or where they're eternally either. Let's go to the office. Let's get you signed in. Let's figure out where you need to be. Don't take them to the camper, right? So we're asking, who are they? Where are they and what are they doing? Are they in a spot where they should be? Are they wandering around? Is it somebody that came from Jersey Valley that was fishing and all of a sudden they're down in the soccer field where we're doing an activity? You know, and they got their fishing pole and they're like, right? Like, go up and talk to them. Where are they? They're in a right in the middle of camp. What are they doing? You know, are they having an appropriate contact with any of us, right? Are we doing something that's appropriate for that time with that person, right? We need to keep each other accountable. We need to keep camp safe. And this works really well. And I thank you, Paul, for wherever you got this information, for sharing it. And we're going to keep doing it because it does work. And you guys are able to answer the questions before I even get the questions up. So if it's okay, then we, you know, we let it go. If we're not sure, we might use a little caution. We might stop the person. We might go get somebody else. If you're not comfortable, like somebody comes into the valley and you're like, by myself, I don't feel like I should approach them and talk. Let me go get somebody else. We're going to go together. Or let me go get somebody else, like a session director or full-time staff, and they can go talk to them, right? Doesn't mean that you have to confront the person, but somebody should. Somebody should at least talk to them. And if you're cautious and you're not sure, it's always good to ask questions. And even if you stop and they're like, oh yeah, sorry, I'm a new volunteer. I forgot my name tag, and they pull it out from underneath their shirt and they're like, yeah, here you go. Oh, well, that's okay. Then you can introduce yourself. Oh, you know, I'm Andy, I'm working on crafts. Oh, I'm a Bible teacher, right? It starts conversation, you get to know each other. So it's okay to do that. And then there might be a time you need to stop something, like I need to go stop this right now. And if you don't feel comfortable, take somebody with you, go get somebody else, be like, hey, this is what I saw, this is what's going on. It needs to stop, it's dangerous, it's, you know, you see a parent drive down and a camper, oh, hey, runs over and says hi, probably the parents, right? But if it's like Wednesday afternoon, that's not normal, right? But then if the kid gets in, they start driving away, that's a problem, right? Get as much information as you can, description, plate of the vehicle, you know, who the kid was, and come get us, right? So that's one of my biggest fears is today's culture, the non-custodial parent, right? Wednesday's my visitation day every week, and the other parents sign them up for camp, and I don't care about camp, but I want my visitation day no matter what, right? You know, if we know about things like that ahead of time, we can work with that. You know, if the parents both contact us and we work through something. But it's when they, you know, if they show up and we don't know, you know, the kid's like, oh yeah, it's Dad, I'm still gonna go on my visit. Oh, but I'm supposed to be at camp, right? Like that's confusing for the kid, but what do we as staff and volunteers, what do we do with that? And that's one of my biggest fears is just some random person and a kid jumping in the car and taking off and we know nothing, right? So you might have to, hey, flag him down and be like, hey, my name's Andy, how can I help you? And say, hey, go get some more help, right? Or go get somebody, go get Andy, you know, go get Yvonne, go get Andrew, because I don't know, right? So reminders here, like we don't have one-on-ones in private. We want to sit like at the campfire pit. We want to sit at the picnic tables outside. We want to sit at the basketball court. We want to be at the benches, somewhere where everybody can see us, where there's no mistaking what's going on, but we can still witness to them. We can still have biblical conversations. We can encourage them. We can pray with the kids. We want to have those conversations, but in a place where I can look, You can look and you can be like, oh yeah, that's okay. They're just sitting there talking. They're sitting there praying. You can tell what's going on. If you say, oh, let's go one-on-one. I want to go for a hike. Let's go for a hike and we'll talk in the woods. I wouldn't recommend that because now you're away from camp, the center of camp. People don't know what's going on in the woods. They might only see you leaving into the woods or coming back, right? Is that a problem? Yeah, just because we want to protect ourselves. So no one-on-ones in private. We want to make sure we're in our dorms at curfew. We don't have girls go in the guy dorms, no guys in the girls dorms, right? All those things we want to keep in mind and make sure we're dressing modestly. We listen to Christian music. And to be honest, last year, dorm leaders didn't have their phones, right? And we provided, is that correct, Andrew? And we provided CD players and stuff. You know, it went well. We didn't have as many issues. I didn't have to all summer tell somebody, can you turn that down? Let's not play that music. We just didn't have the issues. And I think being that Christian witness, having that, you know, you might be like, yeah, it's fine to listen to this music. It's not that big a deal. But what, you know, you're here for the kids, right? And what kind of witness are you setting for that? You know, we don't want, even though you might be a dorm leader, we don't want you telling a kid, oh yeah, do that again. Oh, look at him. We don't want any kind of bullying or any kind of picking on people or anything like that. And if you see that, we want you to stop it as a dorm leader. We want you to be like, hey, let's not pick. Yeah. You know what? His arm stretches weird and does cool things, whatever. He has extra ligaments. I don't know. Whatever God, however God made him, right? But we don't want to make the kid feel uncomfortable. We don't want them to feel like they're getting picked on. And so we need to stop that kind of behavior. We need to be encouraging. We need to talk to kids in a way that's going to help them open up. They're only here for a week. And here's a question I just thought of just now. Dorm leaders. Okay, raise your hand if you've been a dorm leader in this room. All right, dorm leaders, how many days does it take for a kid to open up to you, generally speaking, like on average, before you can start having like some really good, meaningful conversations?
Three or four.
Three or four, yeah. And they're here for like, what? They go home on day six, right? So if you're picking on them or if other kids are picking on them, you may not even get, if you're looking at maybe day four, and that's Thursday, and they're going home Saturday morning, that's not a lot of time to get those conversations in. Or it's not a lot of time to counteract some of the behavior that's happened on day two. So make sure that we're having good conversations and kids aren't picking on other kids. So possible emergencies. And I can't remember if this is 2018 or 2021. Like I said, I went through a lot of pictures this week to really fill in. But so lost camper, a tornado, flood, you know, somebody that's suspicious person around camp, somebody that's aggressive or coming down, and you'll tell in their the way they're walking and the way they're yelling and if they're being aggressive or if they're obviously if they have a weapon, that's an active shooter, right? Fire, those are the types of emergencies that we would face down here. Some are more probable than others, right? There's probably more chance for a tornado or a flood, or definitely lost camper. How often do you think that happens? Like 14 times a day? You're like, when you're like, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 9. Hold on. Okay, everybody stay here, right? Is that how it goes when you're dorm leading? You know, especially you got the little squirts or whatever, and they're all like, all over the place. And then you're like, 1, 2, 3, 4. Okay, wait, that was another dorm leader, right? Because you mix them up or something. So lost camper is probably the most probable. Make sure that you're keeping track of your kids. Where are they? What are they doing? and you're checking in on, you know, keeping them together when they're going from place to place. And if we need to, we, with summer staff, Foundation Camp and summer staff, we do practice a lost camper drill. And, you know, we have maps of camp and sections, and we get radios and flashlights, and we got it all down. And we've only had to do it a couple times, but it works. So if we need to do that, we will do that. So just keep in mind what these emergencies are. The tornado, the hallway here and the bathrooms in the lodge, that is a tornado shelter, and the bathhouse is a tornado shelter because of all the concrete block and everything. Those would be your shelters if there's a tornado. You know, if we have this much water at camp, then you're probably not walking across the bridge. I've never seen it go over the walking bridge. Have you, Andrew? But it's come pretty close. It's like kind of skimmed the bottom, you know, of the bridge. Tim, have you seen it go over the walking bridge? No. So, but you don't, you know, we have to be careful. So you might not want to cross the bridge if there's a flood. Medications. So the state defines what medications are to a point, and then, but it definitely says who can have them and who cannot have them. It does define medication as anything that's over the counter, like EpiPens, inhalers, Tylenol, ibuprofen, anything prescribed by a doctor. So where we've taken a stance is, and they're very specific at 18 and under 18. The state law is very specific on that. So anyone under 18 must turn in any over-the-counter prescribed medication or vitamins. Turn it in to the nurse. We'll have it all set up. And, you know, we haven't really had issues with kids not getting their stuff, right? We have a pretty good system. We could, you know, doesn't mean there's no errors, right? But we have a good system. And kids will get what they need when they need it. Medication must be in the original container, labeled with name, dosage, frequency, doctor's name for a prescription. So it's got to be in the original container. However it comes from the store or however it comes from the pharmacy, it's got to be in that bottle. That is word for word, like from the state statute. Dorm leaders, if you're 18 or older and you're like, well, I take, you know, two different vitamins, and then I have my allergy meds, right? If you are with anyone in your cabin, so if you're doing senior high camp and you're 23 and you're like, well, I got the oldest kids and I have five kids that are 18, or we'll say, let's just say nine kids that are 18 and one 17-year-old in my dorm, I can just keep my medication. They're all adults. No, you can't. So there's a 17-year-old in your cabin. I would fall on the side of, because it's our camp and because there's other kids involved in the camp that are, it's not a young adult retreat, you're gonna lock it up, even if everybody was 18, because it's a dorm and because other campers can walk past and get into the dorm. Does that make sense? So when you're a dorm leader, 18 and older, the nurse can hang on to it. You could lock it in your car, but your car has to be locked. It could be in a lock box. If you're a Bible teacher and you're in one of the bird cabins, I would recommend just having a little box and locking up your medication, because we don't hand out keys to the bird cabin. So anybody really could walk. The kids go to archery and stuff. They could walk in and out. They could rummage through, you know, some things. We don't generally have that issue, but you never know, right? So I would always recommend locking up your medication if you have some and you're 18 or older. If you're 17 or under, you're a volunteer, you're a dorm leader, you're helping out, 17 and under, the medication, the over-the-counter, the vitamins, the multivitamin, all has to go to the nurse. That's the way it has to go, and the nurse will make sure you get it, okay? And then families, like if a family is staying together, you don't necessarily have to lock it, because at home you don't lock it, right? You know, I don't lock my, you know, my vitamins up when I'm at home. But, you know, I guess be careful with it and think about who's going to be coming and going? Are there going to be other kids coming? Do your kids have other friends that are going to be coming and going in your cabin? It's a little pain to lock up compared to what the big repercussions could be, right? The risk assessment. What kind of medication is it? What is it? What could they get? And what inconvenience is it just to lock it up? Okay? Yes. So we don't have any containers. I usually get a few little locks that I can hand out to people. Sometimes I get them back. Usually I buy a few, a few extra at the beginning of each season. And then throughout, I'll get a few extra. Even if you can get it in a backpack and lock the zippers together, or a bag, duffel bag and lock, if a kid really wants to get into something, and if they have enough time, they'll figure it out, right? They're going to do something, but you're trying to slow them down, protect them, and hopefully they're not unsupervised enough to really have the time to get into wherever. Does that make sense? So the way that you can secure it the best way possible, if you get here and you're like, you have a question, I don't mind taking questions when you get here and helping you out, okay? Any other questions about that? Yes.
Any volunteers with their families, and we have medication for children or whatever that are our own children?
Correct.
And we're staying down here at the camp. Would you like those things locked up as well in our dorms?
It would, you don't have to. I would feel better, but you don't have to. Now that brings up a question. If you come as a family, and so parents, you have minors that are not campers, right? Now you can dispense meds to them because they're your children. You can't give anything else to any other children. That has to go through the nurse. So you're down here, Jeff, I'm just gonna use you as an example. You're down here as your family. It's high school camp, and I know you have kids younger than high school, right? Still? Okay. The younger one is like, oh, I